Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Good evening, folks. That was my intro for On the Ropes. We've just been trying to get that together for a while, and it looks like it's come out okay this round. So it was quite a week. We've been certainly enjoying the weather, and it was very nice to get some rain and also a little bit of sunshine in between that. So everybody's very busy at this time of the year. I remember when we had the ranch, we're just crazy trying to get everything ready for the animals, get the wood in and all that type of stuff. But living in town is a whole different experience. I just go over to the thermostat and give it a little push, and there we have heat. So it is quite amazing. So tonight, my friends, we are going to do a sort of a show on myself. And the focus always with On the Ropes is always, it's kind of being on the hows and whys the residents of the Bulkley Valley have found their way to this special spot on the planet. Whether you're born here or immigrated or just plain lucky to find it, the stories are always very interesting commentary for us all to enjoy. My own story has taken many twists and turns, as we all have, and stretches back many years ago when I had a chance to take my summer with my dad as he journeyed throughout the province as a traveling shoe salesman. I recall quite clearly I was 10 years old in 1961, and we were in Smithers visiting Hetherington and Hooper's clothing and footwear store. I made a very bold statement that I wanted to live in this town when I grew up. Now, it took 14 years for me to achieve that goal and many adventures along the way, but I did it. I'm here. I've been here since 1975. So I got to go way back to kind of figure out how I got here. And one adventure began in November of 1971. I was working on the SS Prince George, a CN cruise ship that traveled between Vancouver and Skagway, Alaska, every week. And that's another story, of course, that I hope to tell at some time. But at the time, I decided I needed to go to Europe and make my way to India. CN provided a free rail pass if you completed a full season, and so I ended up in Toronto, knocking on the door of a lady I had met on the ship. She was able to get me a one-way ticket to London, England for $99. So I ended up in Niagara Falls, New York on a very rainy, late fall evening, waiting to catch a 747 at 3 a.m. So on that note, I wanted to mix in a song. This is one of my old-time favorites of Gordon Lightfoot. It's called In the Early Morning Rain, and I always sort of recall that song in the position that I was in there waiting for the plane.
Morning rain with a dollar in my head, with an aching in my heart, in my pockets full of sand. I'm a long way from home, Lord, I miss my loved one so. In the early morning rain, no place to go, out on runway number 9. Big 707 set to go. And I'm stuck here in the grass with a pain that ever grows. Now the liquor tasted good and the women all were fast. Well, now there she goes, my friend. She'll be rolling down at last. Hear the mighty engines roar. See the silver wing on high. She's away in westward bound. Far above the clouds she'll fly. Where the morning rain don't fall and the sun always shines. She'll be flying over my home in about 3 hours' time. This old airport's got me down. It's no earthly good to me. And I'm stuck here on the ground, as cold and drunk as I can be. You can't jump a jet plane like you can a freight train. So I best be on my way in the early morning rain. Can't jump a jet plane like you can a freight train. So I best be on my way in the early morning rain.
So that was Gordon Lightfoot, one of our famous Canadian poets, and the song was The Early Morning Rain, and it just kind of fit my occasion as I was getting on board the plane for London, England. Now, when I got to England, I had an opportunity to visit with relatives, spent about couple of weeks there, and then I started on my journey. I was on my way to Paris, across the English Channel, and I met some people there and got to know a few and was able to stay in Paris for a couple of weeks. I had quite a good time. And the people that I met were sort of, maybe it was the time that I was there, but they seemed to have a pretty good influence on me. But again, that's another story, another adventure that I would like to continue on with. But my story tonight is trying to focus on crossing the Sahara Desert. So as I went through Paris, you know, the one thing that was interesting at that time, you could go to the music stores in town, and they had a little booth. You could listen to the songs, whatever type of music you wanted to listen to, and it was kind of nice for, you know, at that time as a hitchhiker, I didn't really have any money to buy music, or we didn't have a carrying music thing at that time. So anyways, I went in there. So I've got a song here that was from that time that I really liked also. I'm going to set that up. The man was Cat Stevens. You probably have heard of him. And he had put out quite a few albums and was very successful in his career. So we'll just pick that up so we can kind of get a feel of how it felt for me in Europe at the time. Thank you.
think it's fine building jumbo planes or taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, as you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? You roll on roads over fresh green grass for your lorry loads, pumping petrol gas. And you make them long and you make them tough, but they just go on, and it seems that you can't get off. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
That was a rendition by Cat Stevens. Very interesting man. Became actually quite famous. And then he accepted the Islam religion, changed his name to Yusuf, which is kind of an interesting situation. Now, as I was, after I had got out of Paris and worked my way across France, I ended up in Switzerland. And I just had gone to Lausanne, where I was going to meet up with a lady that I'd met on the boat when I was working back in on the Prince George in British Columbia. And I couldn't locate her, and so I was just wondering what my next move was. And I happened to run into a guy, a Canadian guy, that was going back to Canada, and he had a Volkswagen van. He really wanted to get rid of it, and so I just made a decision I would purchase that, and that's what happened. It came to pass. So I set out on the road, and I was going to go. My original intent was to go to India. And at that time, as even now, there was conflict between Pakistan and India. And so I kind of thought to myself, in my sort of naive state of 22 years old, I would just slip through the Sahara Desert, across Africa at the narrowest point, and get a boat on the Indian Ocean and get up to India that way. So I had no real understanding of what I was getting into, but I thought I'd give it a try. So it didn't take long heading south towards the Mediterranean to pick up several hitchhikers. And quickly we became seven folks traveling Europe. An American couple, an Austrian guy, Canadian girl from Saskatchewan, an American girl from Baltimore, a Malaysian guy, and myself. So we had this Morocco as our immediate destination as we drove the coastline through Monaco and into Spain. We were able to pool our resources and keep the old van running. The next hurdle, of course, would be the ferry across the water to Tangiers, Morocco. Now, that country was, and certainly is now, a very special place. And, of course, the beginning of the desert culture. So the one thing that is sort of very interesting when you get into a Islamic country is they're very committed to their religion, and they have this program where they pray towards to Allah 5 times a day, and there's a call. So we had we were in Morocco, and yet you would hear this call. It was very interesting. I wanted to just play it for you so you had a bit of an idea what it was like. So we'll got a little spot here. Okay, it's going to pick up now. So that was just a little segment of a call to prayer that you would hear when you go into a Muslim country. Now, we all quite enjoyed going into Morocco and finding, you know, getting somewhat connected with the desert. I personally became fairly attached to that lifestyle, and I even bought some fabric to make a turban to protect my head from the heat. As we were traveling, of course, you know, part of the of any country that you're in is the music of that country. And we had quite a few times that we stopped and we'd listened to various musics of Morocco. And so I just wanted to give you a little taste of that style of music as we're working our way through the country, heading to the southernmost point where I had made the decision that I was going to leave the van and I was going to attempt to hitchhike through the Sahara, and my friends were going to go back to Europe, and then they would take the van to England and leave it there for me to get when I returned. So I've got this song here. We'll pick it up and mix it in right now just to get a little bit of a feel of how Moroccan music sounds. ¶¶ So that was another small taste of Moroccan music, and Morocco is an extremely beautiful country with an immense amount of diversity. They have the Atlas Mountains. There's actually skiing in those mountains, which is hard to believe because they're sitting sort of surrounded by desert country. And then as you're traveling through the various towns and cities, it's just a real sort of different culture that you can kind of feel you're seeing something a little different than America. The markets, they call them the Medinas, are just very exciting places to go and see the sales, the way the bartering, the way everything is done there. It's pretty exciting. So we carried on. Our goal was to get to the southernmost town of Morocco, Agadir. We spent some time down there, and then the moment came that I got out of the Volkswagen van, and my friends, my newfound friends, were on their way north, and they had their music turned up in the van, and they were laughing, and I was standing, it wasn't really the edge of the desert, but I was just out at the end of the road, and I was waiting patiently for a car to come and pick me up. Well, that was not likely at all, as cars don't generally get through the desert, and it's usually a truck, a flat deck truck, and travelers were kind of crammed onto that deck, and the fees were negotiated on the spot, and there was no real provisions for food or water. All had to be secured at the next village along the route. I had to think to myself, Did I make a mistake? Could this have been the wrong decision? I never saw those people, those newfound friends, or that van ever again. And it was a darn good thing I only paid $200 for the vehicle. So, this is what I wanted, culture shock, and this is what I got. I was pretty happy, even though it felt a little bit strange. So, a truck did come along. I did get myself organized on there, and we arrived kind of late into a small village, and I found an alcove in one of the shops where I could sleep. So the next morning, I was aroused and kind of woke to see two police officers informing me to move on. They were holding hands, and it seemed odd to me, but as I learned, their culture did form a closer bond between men, as women generally remained in their homes and were veiled when they were out into the markets. The next incident that occurred that day was when I was searching for a restaurant for lunch, and I heard some very interesting music that was coming out of that establishment. I went in, I took a table, and to my surprise, there were dancers on the stage. And as I discovered a little bit later, the dancers were not women, but turned out to be young boys. I completed my meal, and I moved on to further adventures. Now this area, as we're getting into the desert, we start to run into a different group of people. They're actually called Berbers or Tuaregs. And these people have been, for centuries, nomadic. And they would be traveling across the desert, and usually in a camel caravan. Of course, camels can go longer distances without food and water. And so this music that I heard, it seemed to be quite haunting. And I searched it out, actually, you know, within probably the last 5 years that I've been looking into this music. It's considered desert blues. So I want to introduce you to this song, this particular group called Teneri Wen. And it's a special song. It would be considered world music, and it's certainly not everybody's taste, but it did sort of satisfy my taste. So I'll just put you, see if we can mix that in right now.
So جشني دار الصحراء
ديوان من الصحراء ناس الجرى والحرية
أمن منا
So it's kind of a, as you can hear, a little bit of a haunting kind of a chant. And on this particular song, it was also considered a protest song. And as I had mentioned before, the Tuaregs did have quite a bit of freedom. And with the colonial changes, the country, Africa, was cut up into many, many different countries, and so there was a lot of restrictions. So on this particular song, the chant was, the lyrics were kind of clear. My friends from the Sahara, our freedom is gone. Let's unite or we will all vanish. Not a single soul will be left alive in the desert. So it's kind of repetitive, and it struck me, anyways, as very emotional, and I just got to really like the sound of the Arabic language. Anyways, I had to carry on, and so before I go to my next location, I just wanted to do my station and sponsor recognition. It's sort of halfway through our show. We always come up with the fact that we're on the airwaves with CICK Smithers Community Radio 93.9 on your FM dial. And we have been very fortunate to have some dedicated sponsors supporting us. So I'd like to have our thanks go out to the BV Farmers Market, the Community Radio Fund, Accounting on Broadway, and the BV Concert Association. So as we move on, I just wanted to mention that the next particular town that we caught up with was a seaport, and it was a terminus for an iron ore mine train. The ore was delivered to a shipping terminal, and the return trip to the mine took about 20 hours aboard the empty rail cars. It seemed that was the transportation. There was other people taking advantage of it, and so I did the same. It seemed like an opportunity, and a natural route for the travelers to take. The trip was definitely an experience, as you would expect, and the natural outcome of arriving completely black from the dust blowing car to car. Unfortunately, at the end of the line, water was starting to get scarce. And there was only a small bucket, almost, I would say it was even only about three quarters full, available for cleansing. Most of the grime had to be worn off over time. But interestingly enough, I was checking on Google the other day and YouTube, and this train excursion is still happening today. That's 50 years later. It can be picked up on one of the videos there. So from that point, I continued working my way down south, as my goal was to get through the desert. I came up with a closer encounter with the Tuareg people. It seemed like a very fascinating and exotic culture. This particular community, these people were considered the Blue Men. And I found that just amazing. They actually were wearing blue robes, and they had gone as far as dyeing their skin. They had some plants that were a blue hue, and it seems that blue was symbolizing the sky and representing divinity and a closer link to the Koran. I found out later the blue dye also helped protect the skin from the heat and even from insects. So by now, I had purchased a blue robe for protection from the heat too, and I tried to kind of fit into their culture. Now, naturally, I did not fit in at all, but I had some fun doing that. I did learn the universal Arabic greeting, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam. It's kind of a sort of, how's it going out there? How's your mother? So I had kind of, just my relationship with the people that I met was pretty loose, and we had some few laughs. So again, I continue with the music portion, and I picked up this other song here that I'd like you to hear. It's called Asuf, and it's another take on Tinawaran. Thank you. Another kind of haunting protest song that seemed to really fit the landscape, the people, the area. It's not something that you might just listen to while you're sitting in Smithers and not thinking about the desert lifestyle, but it certainly takes me back to those days, and it was a very interesting time and interesting situation that I went through. Now, while I was traveling, of course, the temperature was rising, and we were getting closer to summertime, and I went through some areas where the temperature was as high as 114 degrees Fahrenheit. So it was definitely challenging, and what the local people seemed to do was they would maybe they would be up till around noonish, and then they would go into their huts, and they wouldn't come out again until around midnight. And the commerce was kind of done in the hours between midnight and 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, where the temperature may have dropped 10, 15, 20 degrees, but it was still uncomfortable, for sure. So I kept on traveling my way through, and was emerging from the desert. And the next area that you come into would be considered the savanna area. And I've gone out of Mali and Mauritania, and I've come into Senegal. It's a West African country. And, of course, you've gone now from sort of an Arabic area to more of a Black African area. And, again, it's just a very interesting to see how the lifestyle, how people live, and be a part of it. The only unfortunate thing on my part was, I just wanted to mention this part as I was crossing the border. It was kind of a memorable moment. Was I had, you know, navigated the St. Louis River border on a canoe, and there was a guy that was running the canoe. We set up a price, and it's a fairly good-sized river, you know, a sort of, I would say, kind of like the Skeena, but it was pretty lazily going, and we're about halfway, and the owner-operator decided the price was too low, and I was in that position where I could get out, but I wasn't aware of what would have been in the water, and so we had a non-negotiable sort of second price. Anyways, that was just a funny moment going through there. We got to the other side. We were into what would be considered a more country that had more activity going on. And it wasn't too long where I was able to get on a bus. So I got the bus going into the capital city, which was Dakar. And I found my way over to the local hostel. That seemed to be where you'd run into people of similar as yourself, travelers, whatever. And so I was settling in there, and we were chatting. Usually when you're out quite a ways out on the travel cycle, conversation generally go to your health, as it doesn't seem to take too much, and the North American can find a way to get sick. And unfortunately, I did too. So I was chatting, and it seemed that I was urinating, and my urine was red. And the guy that was, a couple guys in the room were yelling out to me, telling me, well, you probably have hepatitis. So I guess through poor food, poor sanitation, I must have picked up hepatitis, and I ended up going to the hospital. Now, in Dakar, there's a hospital for the wealthy, and there's also a hospital for the not-so-wealthy, and that's the one that I chose because I was on this trip as I was trying to really do it on the poor side. I was trying to get a little understanding of what it was like to be poor. And anyway, so I ended up in that hospital for about 10 days, and it was quite an experience. Really, there wasn't much that could be given to me. You just have to rest. And then once I got out of the hospital, I was I had to get some money because I was running out of money. And I had money back in Canada, and I had an arrangement with my dad who would send the money to me. And I was prepared to get some money in Dakar ahead of time. So I went down to pick that money up at the post office, and I was very tired. Like any type of effort, walking, anything, it was a long situation as you're recovering, and you just seem like you always want to sleep. Anyways, I got my mail, and it turned out I ended up with English pound notes, and I hadn't had those before. I was more or less relying on American money. But I took it to the bank and was trying to get it exchanged into Senegalese money. And the bank patron called me over and said, took me inside and said, this money is illegal. It's been canceled. Well, that seemed very odd to me. So I then went to the British Embassy and was explaining my situation, and there just happened to be a guy there he was an Englishman that had hepatitis himself at one time. So he said maybe if I wanted, I could stay with him while I was recovering. And that turned out to be very fortunate because I ended up recovering in Dakar for pretty well, I would say, 3 months before I could really think about traveling again. And the first month, I would say, I just spent sleeping and resting and trying to build up again. So I want to kind of bring my travel story to a closure at the moment. Each section of the story, like the time in Dakar, 3 months, is a story on itself, the things that happened, things that I saw, and the things that I was part of, and then the continuation of my travel on my goal to get to India. And so I would like to save those moments for another opportunity when we can get a radio show going and I can bring in some of the music from those periods of time. So I'd just like to close out my story here with one last song, my favorite desert blues song, and we'll see how that sounds to your sensitive ears.
نفريك تمدام لغازستان لغازستاني هاني مان
إيمي ديوان نفريك تمدام لغازستاني هاني مان إيمي ديوان
Ini diwan, Afrika dimana?
استعمار
في ويدي وانا لفريق تمدان لغازستان لغازستان هانينا في ويدي وانا
فريق التمدام لغازستان لغازستان إيهاني مان
So that group, Tin Eri Wen, is they've become quite famous over the last few years. They've been going since about the sort of the mid-70s, and they travel with their desert garb, or wear robes. They've got their turbans, and they've got quite a group going there. It's very interesting. And I would suggest if you get an opportunity that you could look it up on YouTube and watch a video. You would find it quite fascinating. And it's not music for everybody, but it certainly brings me back to the days when I was crossing the Sahara, and I still feel a little slight emotion towards what happened there. So that is pretty well bringing us to the end of this particular radio show. I wanted to thank you for being a part of On the Ropes. We are on the airwaves, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. And I just wanted to remind you that each episode is archived, and that means that if you didn't catch it live right now on Monday at 6, it's on your computer, smithersradio.com. Click schedule on the top left and scroll down to Monday at 6 on the ropes. And then you can play that show or any other show that we've got archived at the moment. So hopefully you can join me next time at Monday, October the 21st at 6 p.m. when I will be interviewing Rhonda Burnett from the Love of Rocks. See you on the flip side. Just see if I can get that outro on there. Here we go.